Look what it says here in verse 5. He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. My goodness, that's good. Do you realize that God preached the gospel to Abraham? He preached it, preached the gospel. And one of the ways that he showed him the gospel is through the stars. And if you look at the stars in terms of what they represent and so forth. Now, I'm not talking about practicing astrology or anything like that. But remember, the wise men looked at the stars and found Jesus. So he had the stars and showing the virgin and all of that was all in the stars. The gospel was in the stars. He showed him Christ in the stars. Well, I just thought you'd like to hear that. Okay, now, we're teaching on a subject, living in the supernatural, living in the supernatural. And today, the title of the message is anything too hard for the Lord?
All right.
Is anything too hard for the Lord? Man. This is good stuff, boy. Okay, we've come some distance here, living in supernatural. And we said, first of all, it's a season of supernatural, that we're coming into a time now that one man said it like this, that level one problems are going to have to be solved on level two solutions, with level two solutions. That the problems that we have today are getting beyond man's capacity or man's ability to be able to solve them on that level. And so we're going to have to go to another level. So we start talking about that first. And then we move to the fact that this is a God factor. And that it's time for us to put God back into the program. And that the world has, again, this Babylonian spirit has tried to keep God out of everything. And that God should come back in every aspect of our lives, whether it be education, whether it be family, whether it be business, whatever have you. And he's going to come back. That's the God factor. And that also, when you're talking about God and the kingdom of God, you're talking about another level of operation. The kingdom of God itself is supernatural. It's another level of wisdom, another level of understanding, another level of power, and so forth and so on, or knowledge or revelation. So this. And then we talked about the fact that, you know, that just because we can't find any natural solution, don't think there's not a solution. But that the solution can be found in God. And so what we saw here is that the prophet Elisha was following and serving his spiritual father, Elijah. And then once Elijah was taken, that came down a chariot from heaven and took Elijah on up to heaven, he dropped his mantle. And this was torn, this mantle was taken, and Elisha struck the waters with it, and a miracle happened. And he cried out, where is the God of Elijah? Elijah was gone, but the God was still here. And so that's when you look at people and look at situations, we got over to this fact of understanding Jesus's life, that in John chapter 14 and verse 10, Jesus said, it's not me, it's the Father in me, he doeth the works. So it's interesting how Jesus didn't credit himself with doing the works, but his job was to believe that the Father would do the works. And so you also see it in the fact that when Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, he died in 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth and hell, and that God raised him up. He had to rely on God to do the work. And the same thing about us, what we said is Jesus said, the things that I do, This is John chapter 10, verse 14, of the 14, John chapter 14 and verse 12. He said, the things that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. And so the idea about it is that our job is to believe that God would do his job. Matter of fact, you can put it up there on the board. Look what it says over here in Galatians, if you will. Put it up, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He said this, and you should memorize this scripture. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the who? Son of God, who did what? Loved me and what? Gave himself for me. So it's not us, it's him that's doing the work. And it's very important that we know this, because with God, we found out all things are possible. Let's go over there again. That's over in Mark's Gospel in chapter 10. And what we're talking about, this fig tree. And we came back to this scripture that he said in verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, this is Mark chapter 10, verse 27, with men it's impossible, but not with God. With God what? All things are possible. So we have to do our part. And our part is to believe that God would do his part. Let's go back over there one more time. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 9. Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, if you can't flip to these pages, please just look up on the screen. That's why we have it there. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said to him, What? Yea, Lord, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes and saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. So their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them. He said, See that no man know it, but they went out and told it everywhere. So it's interesting here that he said, Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do we believe that God is able to do this? And we often say that God can do anything but fail. God can do anything but lie, whatever have you. Well, if we really believe that, why don't we put trust in him? And why don't we really put our trust in him and let him do that? Now, what we said also is that Jesus taught the supernatural. Jesus taught the supernatural. A part of his teaching was supernatural. If you go over, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14, here is Jesus. And Jesus came to them walking on the water. Now, as he came walking on the water, then it said in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get in ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone, and the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, What? Come. And he said, What?
Come.
Come. And he said, What?
Come.
Come. Now, if it wasn't God's will for Peter to come, then Jesus never would have said that. So here is Jesus now demonstrating the fact that we have dominion in this earth over all natural laws. And he was showing them how to walk in this supernatural realm. Now, let's go over also to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. Hold on just a minute, please. I just want to get something here that Lord wants me to receive. Okay. All right. Let's put it down here. So what we're finding here in Mark chapter 9 is when they brought a man brought his son that was demon-possessed, brought him to Jesus, and brought him to the disciples that they could cast the demon out, but they couldn't cast him out. The son had what are called a dumb spirit, and they couldn't cast him out. In verse 19, and he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And notice what he was doing. He said, wait a minute, you're supposed to do this. Why are you bringing me? I mean, I don't understand. Why aren't you doing this by now? And if you go back over here to Mark chapter 4, come on back over quick. Mark chapter 4. And this situation here, that in Mark chapter 4, they were going to the other side and a great storm came up. In verse 37, and the winds and the waves beat into the ship so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and said, Master, don't you care? We're about to die. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And there was a great calm. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so what? Fearful. How is it that you have no what? Faith. Now notice what he's doing. He doesn't expect them to wake him up. He's expecting them to do this themselves. So it's a certain point in your spiritual development where God is going to expect you to do some of your own praying. It's a certain point in your spiritual development. I'm just saying that he's expecting you to do the supernatural. And what we got to do is we got to understand that we have to leave the comfort zone of the flesh. Because a lot of times, you know, you're looking for your flesh to lead you, but you're not being led by your flesh. You're being led by your spirit. Now, a lot of times, word of faith people to put their brain on the shelf, but God doesn't do that, because what he asks you to do is renew your mind so that your mind and your spirit will agree so that you can get some things done. Now, as we go on here, we went back and showed you that Gideon said, you know, if the Lord be with us, then where are all the miracles? And so we start showing you that the Bible is a miracle book. And that as we come into this Bible, we start to get born again. Now we got the capacity for miracles. We have the capacity for the supernatural in our lives. So we don't need to live naturally anymore. We can live supernaturally. And we just went on and so forth and start talking about that. Let me just get a couple more points maybe I want to bring to you. Problems, we said, that might take place that might be overwhelming in the natural are very easy for God. That God can take care of your problem in 1 second. Say amen to that. So what we're doing is we've got to realize that, hey, let's stop staying up all night worried about it. Let's find out how we can get into the supernatural and take care of it. And it's all right if for you to do that, because a lot of folk around you may not do that. And in fact, they may not believe like you believe. And that happened. You got to watch it, because, Lord have mercy, all this is coming in on me now. That when you're looking at this, Jesus taught the supernatural. And I looked on down there and I began to see that the church was born out of the supernatural. Come on now. That was a rushing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house, and they all started speaking in a language that they never went to school to learn. If that ain't supernatural, I don't know what's supernatural. And not only that, continuous miracles in the book of Acts. And now when after that's all done, then God's going to take us up out of here. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. He talked about the Lord will descend with a shout. And all the saints, the dead in Christ, will raise up first. Come on. And after that, all those who remain will be caught up in the air. So we leaving out of here supernaturally. Come on now. So I'm just saying that it's all supernatural. And what has happened is, we sometimes are failing to depart this natural realm because the supernatural hasn't been taught. For us to get the supernatural results, somebody gonna have to teach the supernatural. All right, now, when you do that, understand that the Bible says that there are going to become days that people don't want to hear about this. Now, let's go to some of that. Let's go over, first of all, the Colossians chapter 2. We shared that with you last time, but just for edification, we'll do it again. And over in Colossians chapter 2. Now, this is for you and for me. Because we, instead of teaching healing, we've taught medicine. Come on now. Instead of talking about miracles in your marriage, we've talked about a 10-step program of counseling, and still seeing marriage cases 50% divorces. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you, all this is happening because the supernatural hasn't been taught. Instead of teaching debt cancellation, we're trying to teach debt reduction. Now, there's nothing wrong with debt reduction. There's nothing wrong with medicine, because if it wasn't for medicine, half the Christians would be dead. Come on now. But it didn't say, is anyone among you sick? Let him go down to Weiss Memorial Hospital and get some medication. It said, let him call for the elders up. Come on now, help me. I'm only saying what's in the Bible, because God can cancel all your debts this week. Now, come on now. But for you to get supernaturally, you're going to have to be taught supernaturally. Now, what I'm saying, as you go further into this, that the Bible talks about in these last days, what's going to happen. Verse 8, Paul talks about it because he taught the supernatural. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. We read that again out of the Amplified. If you'll put it up on the board, please, sir, ma'am. See to it that no one carries you away off as spoil, or makes you yourselves captive by a so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies and plain nonsense, following the human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world, crude notions, following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ, the Messiah. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, I'm only saying that this is interesting how the intellectualism has come in. Now, I'm not saying that you can't use your brain. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes the word of faith, or sometimes people talk about faith and they think you put your brain on the shelf. No, you don't put your brain on the shelf, because first of all, your brain can't exist by itself on the shelf. But the boundaries are usually in our minds. In other words, God needs your will and your belief so that he can do for you what he's wanted to do. Say amen to that. And so what we have to do is renew our minds. So our mind's going to have to be used. And once, by the way, I want to say this. Once you do use your mind and you go to a higher place, you're going to have to do maintenance on it. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. You're going to have to do maintenance on your mind, because the enemy knows that if you keep that ground in your mind, that you are now going to influence people around you, things around you, so forth. Things are all around you to try to keep you right where you are. I'm talking about things that you don't even realize until you try to move outside of where you are. Are you following what I'm saying? See, as long as I was just on Lake and Pulaski, everybody was settled with me. As long as I was down there fighting demons every day, they were okay with me. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, because that's where I started. But as I moved on up, and then when we got this mall, all of a sudden, people started talking about me. I'm not talking about talking good. I'm talking about saying bad things about me. I'm trying to figure out, why are they talking about me? Because I'm moving outside of where the devil wanted me, and he's using people, come on, to try to keep me in that boundary. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying, as soon as the man, here's the man sitting by the pool 38 years, and Jesus comes by And he asked, would you like to be made whole? Now notice what he's doing. He's challenging the man's desire. See, he's challenging his desire. Because for God to do something for you, your desire is gonna have to match his desire. And so he's challenging. And the man start blaming folk. You can't get healed blaming folk. You see what I'm saying? You gotta put that aside. You gotta let God work on you. And the man starts talking about, you know, every time I tried to go and they jumping in front of me and Jake and jumping in front of me and Bob cut me off last time. And about 3 years ago, a lady jumped in front of me and so forth. But all of that, Jesus said, wait a minute, rise, take up your bed, come on, and walk. And the man took up his bed, power came into him, took up his bed and walked. Now he walked around the corner and some Pharisees saw it. They said, wait a minute. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed on this day. Now, wait a minute. They knew that same man was by the pool. They knew that man had been sick for 38 years. They knew, but that didn't matter. It didn't matter that I had served my time at Lake and Pulaski. But as soon as I got a shopping mall, then now what you doing, Bill Winston? And I'm telling you, it's the same thing about you. And if you're weak-minded, you'll go back. But if you're strong in the Lord, say amen to that, you're going to have to shake it off. I better turn to this side. You're going to have to shake it off. Because there are people that don't want to see you get ahead. Because when you start getting ahead, it's going to glorify God. And the devil is behind trying to keep you from lifting up God. Say amen to that. But let me tell you, every time they come against me, I just use the love walk. I just treat them with love. Say amen to that. Because when you know that no one can stop you from reaching your destiny but you, you don't have no problem. Now we put it on Evan, the man keeping me down. You know they prejudice over there. What? Listen, honey, if God be for you, there ain't a man. It makes no difference. So you're going to have to do maintenance on your mind. You're going to have to get the word of God and meditate that thing. And anytime you feel yourself slipping back, get it again. Meditate it again. Do maintenance on it again. Get strong again and start out walking again. And don't stop walking, praise God. Take more ground next year. More ground next year. Come on now. Now I'm talking about letting some results be in your life. I'm not talking about just coming here praising God. Thank God for you doing that. But let me tell you, I want to see some fruit in your life. I want to see, come on now. It's time for some fruit. And people don't want to hear sometimes the supernatural. They want to hear a way that they can feel comfortable about it with where they're at. And I'm not here to make you comfortable. I'm here to get you conformable. I'm here to get you so you line up with the word of God in spirit, soul, and body. You know that you can be so sold out to God until your flesh, glory to God, discerns good and evil. Saying to you right now, see, this is what you need to hear, because the natural way and the natural things to do, many times they stop us. And here are some preachers. They came and spied out the land of Canaan. They spied it out for 40 days and they came back to bring a report. And they came back and 10 of them began to talk. They said, hey, here's the fruit of the land. This is evidence that the land is there. By the way, look at these grapes. They are big as grapefruit. Got what I'm saying? See, big, what is God trying to do? He's trying to influence their desire. He wants you to have the best that he has to offer. Folks, if you don't like wealth, then you may as well go to hell. Because there ain't nothing but streets of gold. Come on now. The gates are pearls. The foundation of your house gonna be made out of gold. And it's not gonna be a trailer home. It's gonna be a mansion. If you ain't ready for that, I got news for you. You can't go where I'm going. Because where I'm going, you heard that story that that man, he had some gold. So he had lived a long life. He loved the Lord and died. Well, when he died and passed on, now he's going to be with the Lord. And he's going through the gates of heaven. And here he was at the gate, but he had this big sack behind him of gold. And the angel said, come on in. Whoop, you can't come in here with that. He said, no, I was told that I could bring this. He said, now, wait a minute, who told you that? He said, an angel told, one of them told me, somebody told me. He said, now, what's in there? He said, it's something that God told me. He said, something they told me I could bring. He said, wait a minute, you don't need to bring anything here. We got everything here. You don't need to drag anything behind you up here. He said, no, I worked hard for this. I'm going to bring it in here. And they argued for a minute, and then the angel said, well, what's in there? He said, something I worked hard for. He said, well, let me just see what's in there. He looked over there and saw some gold bars in there, and this is what he looked at the man and said, why are you bringing pavement up here? Pavement, man. You're going to walk on that stuff? You don't need to just, come on. Naked you came into this world, and naked you're going to leave out of here. Folks, you better get your thinking up, get your desires up. Come on now. They came back from spying out that land, and when they came back, 10 of them gave an evil report. They said, there are giants in the land. That's true. They said, they're tall and great. That's true. They said, the walls, look there, they're reaching up to heaven. That's partially true. They said that so forth and so on. They said, in their sight, we are like grasshoppers. That's probably true. All of that's in the natural, in the flesh. But you're not living there anymore. I said, you're not living there anymore. Look what he said. Two of them said this, but let's go up at once and possess it, for we are what? Well able to overcome it. You see, what you got to do is understand that God is with you and that you are not here by yourself to do the supernatural on your own. Your job is to believe that he will do his job. You see, the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord. I said, oh, magnify the Lord. This is what, who is that? Elizabeth said that over in Luke 1. Oh, magnify the Lord. It says it also in the Old Testament. What does it mean? Make God big. See, once you make God big, you make your problem a midget. I said, Lord, once you make God big, you make your problem small. What people have done is they've made their problem big and God small. Let's reverse that. Get you some scriptures in here and start saying, wait a minute, is there anything too hard for God? Let's see. He had to march around that building and it dropped in 7 days. Let's see. He had Moses stick out a rod and the sea split. Let's see. He had this one. I'm just saying, let's start magnifying God. Let's start saying how great thou art. Stop talking about your problem to everybody you see. That ain't no problem for God. God can solve that problem before you get out of church today. And he is. I call that problem solved. I command your money to come in here now. We're going believe God. Say, I believe God. Do maintenance on your mind. Do maintenance. Because I remember I was believing God for something else now. I ain't gonna even say what it is. You know, you gotta watch what you say around saints. It's amazing how people will try to put you in a category. Well, why are you believing for all that? Why don't you believe for it? And I start, you know, hanging around people, and then I start dropping my confession, dropped it on down, you know. Okay, all right, I believe for the car, but with no wheels. Let's see now, I believe. You know what I'm saying? You start dropping right on down. Pretty soon, you ain't got nothing but a steering wheel. Pretty soon, you... The car done gone. Every part of the dream has been eaten up by the devil, and you just left with a rim. I'm telling you, jack yourself up, your faith back up to where it's supposed to be. Say amen. Say, now I'm believing I'm going to go to the best university, and my 4 years is going to be paid in full. Start saying it. Start decreeing that. Say amen to that. Get it up there. I said get it up there. See, remember, don't be moved if it didn't work out the first time. See, because it didn't work for me the first time. But see, I'm not easily discouraged. There are people that are easily discouraged. All you got to do is say, boo, and they'll fall behind. I knew it wasn't working. Shut up that talk. You get your mind over here and say, wait a minute. If it's in the Word, it's mine. I said, if it's in the Word of God, it belongs to me. Now, the only reason I don't have it is not because God doesn't want me to have it. The only reason I don't have it is because the devil is sitting on it. And he's trying to use something in my past, my mind, my something, to create an aura so it won't come to me. But right now, I'm going to believe everything God said, and I'm going to receive everything God's got. You don't need to pray for healing. You don't need to pray for it. Amen. Why do I need to ask God for something that's already mine? Teach. You don't. Surely he has borne our grief, carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we what? We're healed. Jesus took it. That's like laying up in the hospital. I'm in one bed and Jesus is in another. He's got what I've got. He's saying, get up and get out of here. I got it. And we still praying to the Lord for it. Hey, you don't need to pray for it. It's already yours. What you need to do is rebuke the devil off of it. Everything God has belongs to you. This earth belongs to you. I can't get a lot of amen. See, I made up my mind now. I'm going to preach the gospel. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I think I told you to turn there. And put it up on the board for me. Look what it says here. Now you're living in these kind of times. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearance and his kingdom. At the appearing and his kingdom. Preach the what? Word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Keep going. For the time is coming where they'll not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I'll stop right there. See, the time is coming where people are not going to want to hear nothing about the supernatural. Yep. They're not going to want to hear the fact that you can cancel your debt in a week.
Yeah.
And the enemy tried to talk them into that. Think about it. The ones who told them we can go up and possess it, the next chapter they tried to stone them. Here's Bill Winston telling you there is a way that you can cancel that debt in 7 days. Now that sounds good until I tell you how. Now I'm not going to tell you to run the marathon. That's 26.2 miles. I'm not going to tell you to do that. I'm not going to tell you to climb Mount Vesuvius because it's tough for you to do that. But I am going to tell you to reach in your pocketbook.
All right now.
Now see, I didn't get as many amens. See, right there. Right? See, you follow what I'm saying? I said, Lord, all right. We've missed one closing on this building. I'm talking about the shopping mall. This one. And I said, now we got another one coming up in less than a week. What am I going to do? He said, do the word. I said, okay. What does that mean? He said, sow a seed. He said, you need a miracle. I said, yeah, okay. How much is that we talking about? He said, 400,000. I said, get me. No, I wanted to say that. 400,000. Now, I understand we had saved up and we had about 3 million there to purchase. He said, so 400,000. So I had to sow a part of what I needed to get it. So I went to folk and asked folk about it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Pastor, I don't think, you know. Now, I admit, a couple of them said, hey, go for it.
Amen.
One of them said, hey, sow it all if he tell you. I said, that's a number. What did I do? I'm telling you. I went before the Lord. I said, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And you sitting up in here. You're sitting up in there. Now what? We're down in Tulsa. My wife, looking for a job, went around all these places. They say, hey, we land people off. There are no jobs. Tulsa is in the, as far as now, the economy is down and nobody's getting hired. People laying off by the hundreds. Came back home. I said, wait a minute. We're not going to let this situation tell us what we can do. I said, let's get the Bible. We got the Bible and went in there and got some promises from God. My wife took these promises, put them on little 3x5 cards, put them all over the house. Opened the refrigerator, redeemed from the curse. Go in the bathroom, lift up the toilet lid. Scriptures everywhere. Now what is she doing? She's following the word. Keep it in your eyes, your ears, your mouth, and your heart. That's how all you got to do is follow that now. This is supernatural. The next thing that happened, we confessing that, and God spoke to me. He said, baby, God spoke to me and said for you to put on a card exactly what that job is to look like that you want. So she put it on the card. Wanted in computers. I wanted a nice office. Wanted 10 minutes from the house. Want it with this kind of salary, and I want an automobile with it. Now, wait a minute. That's a long ways from begging. So what did you do? She put it down there. Start confessing that. We agreed on it, so forth. We're just doing it supernaturally now. So then, one day I came home. Some soup was cooking. She was cooking this soup. I said, oh, man, that soup smells good. She said, that's not ours. I said, well, whose is it? She said, that's Aaron and them down there. They've fallen on some hard times. They need something. Man. Now that, are you following what I'm saying now? Now notice what she's doing. We didn't have a lot of money, but we did have some soup to sow. Come on, y'all got to come with me now. Y'all got to come with me. See, some people, I ain't got no money. You got some soup. So what happened then? Took that soup, took it down there and so forth. A few days later, short time, man called the house. Hello, Mrs. Winston in? Yes, she is. Boom. Now, she had gone around all these places and took a resume and so forth, but they all given a negative report, evil report. So what happened? Then the guy said, hey, she got off the phone with him. I said, who is that? Says, the gentleman said he saw my resume. He was new at the job. He was cleaning out his desk, saw my resume and thought he had something for me. I said, well, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, I understand he threw out all the other papers, but kept that one that had favor on it. Now, I'm just slowing this down because I want to tell you how the supernatural works. So what happened? She went down there, checked the interview, came back. I said, baby, how did we do? She said, get the card. Got the card. I read off the first one. What industry? What? She said, in computers? Check. So how's the office? Nice office. Check. I said, how about, how far is it from the house? She said, about 10 minutes. Check. I said, how about the money? She said, they gave me $5,000 more than we put on the card. I said, that's me. Praise God. That was me right there. That was me. Say amen, somebody. And then she said, I said, how about the car? She said, they told me to go pick up a new Buick. Now, wait a minute now. It doesn't make any difference whether it's hard times. Preach the word. You got to understand me what I'm saying. The supernatural overrides the natural. Watch this. If God has to transport a company that matches her desire from Switzerland into 10 minutes from the house, he will do it because he will not go against what he has promised you. And he promised you that if you confess this thing, he is faithful to do it. Now, what am I saying? I want to encourage you. Don't let the enemy talk you out of what is yours. This is the biggest thing I want to tell you today. When you start trying to break out, you're going to have to just do maintenance on your mind. Because the mind is the battlefield. Your spirit is already out. But for you to get out, at the hole, you're going to have to do something with your mind. And folks, get that word and go with that word and put it in there and don't go back on it at all. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, let's go back to Genesis chapter 18, please. I'm almost done. Is this all right if we just slow this thing down? I know what the news media is saying, but that doesn't apply to you. I'm living in the supernatural. Say, I'm living in the supernatural. Yeah, people said, you know, praise the Lord. But when you tell them what to do, well, I don't know. I don't have no soup. Well, you may need to get some soup. Whatever, I'm telling you, whatever it takes, God's going to get it back to you. He's going to make sure that you get, you are designed to win every battle. Let me just finish this and we'll go. Are you with me? Yes. All right. So I put down here today, people are teaching medicine instead of teaching healing. Today we're teaching debt reduction instead of debt cancellation. Today we're talking about 10-step marriage counseling instead of deliverance. That's for somebody right there. That's a demon. You need to be delivered of that thing. Today we're talking about get 3 jobs instead of sow a seed. Come on. Today we're talking about get a battery of lawyers instead of using wisdom. Come on, help me now. And I'm saying we need to come back to the supernatural. Now, what did I tell you to turn? I had to slow this down today because they that wait upon the Lord. Wait means I'm going to exchange my strength for his. You don't have enough strength in the natural, but the God that you serve. My goodness. You ready? Verse 9. And they said to him, where is Sarah, thy wife? Now, this is angels talking to Abraham. And he said, behold, she's in the tent. And he said, I will surely return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Do y'all know what that means? Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? And my Lord being old also, she put him in. She brought him right on in there. And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And I want you to think about that. Because it didn't say, is it too hard for you? He says, is it too hard for the Lord? Paul said, our sufficiency is of God. Meaning that our ability is of him. We have inherited his ability. Last place, let's go to Psalm chapter 121. Psalm chapter 121. As he is, so are we in this world. I've decided I'm going to get into the supernatural. I ain't coming out. I'm not coming out. And I'm telling you something. I believe I can accelerate from where I am right now. I believe I haven't been moving fast enough. Because I've been trying to come down to where some of y'all mess around at. Come on now, I'm not putting it on you, but I'm just saying, Moses hit that rock. You remember he hit that rock? Why? Because they had pulled him down to frustration. And I'm telling you something, I'm not going to strike that rock because I'm going in. I said, I'm going in. But when I start preaching this, don't go out here and talk about me. Leave me out of your mouth. And just agree with me. Say amen to that. I'm telling you now, because I got to feel it. If I jump into this like God is kind of lead me, are you following what I'm saying? See, we've heard super and we've not dealt with that word like it's supposed to be. This word super, it means pertaining to above what is explainable, man. Supernatural. We've heard supercharge, you know, having to do with energy, and supermarket having to do with large, you know, place where you can self-serve yourself, and superpower having to do with big nations that are influenced, super highway, superman. We heard all of this, but I'm talking about supernatural. I'm talking about something you can't even explain with the natural. I'm talking about something, if God tell you to do it, the first thing you do is your body will shake. I'm telling you right now, you up and listen, it makes the devil mad when you just go forward and do it, no matter what your flesh is telling you. Say, no, I'm gonna walk on this water. I'm gonna make this work this time. Hey, it didn't work for me last time, but it's gonna work this time. He gonna pay me my money. Come on. I'm talking about, well, I'm going to get this healing this time. Come on. This time, this headache, I ain't going to take no aspirin. I'm going for it this time. Say amen to that.
I'm just saying, somewhere make the devil mad. Make him know that let God be true and every man be a liar. If God's word said it, that settles it for me. I'm going to get in on this thing. See, God said wealth and riches supposed to be in my house. He said, I'm supposed to increase me and my children. He said, I'm supposed to inherit the heritage of the heathen. He said, they supposed to be working for me. He said, come on. He said, these things, he's given me cities that I didn't build. I'm saying, if he said it, I'm about to step into it. And I see now, I just got to get wild. I got to just say, hey, I'm about to do this. Get out of my way. See, because some of y'all still trying to be pretty and you still trying, ain't nothing wrong with looking good, but look good when you win. I'm saying, look, but while you're going through, your hair may be all over your head, your clothes may be half hanging off, but you going through because you about to get up to your wealthy place. Man, we got to stop all this pretty stuff, all this hallelujah, praise the Lord, and ain't got no fruit in our life. Just as broke this year as they were 3 years ago. Get off of that horse. She won't ride no more. Get up in the spirit and be a witness for Almighty God. Say amen to that. And somebody get in your way, you tell them, get out of the way. I'm telling you, folks, it took something for them to break open that ceiling, and they couldn't get in by the door with this man who was sick on that bed. They couldn't get in because all them people standing around, they're not getting nothing. They busy trying to catch Jesus at his words, just like maybe somebody in here, you busy trying to catch me in my words. You trying to see what I'm going to say that you don't agree with, and I ain't care about you. Like my mama used to say, I ain't studying you. I'm here to tell you right now, I ain't gonna care what you think. I don't care what the newspaper gonna write. I don't care what the bankers gonna think. I don't care what the business is gonna say. They gonna see the power of God on my life. I'm telling you right now, if you got the supernatural, produce something there. Because I'm going to produce for you. I'm going to show you that the word works. Now sit down so I can finish this. I got out what I wanted to say. Now I understand. Everybody may not go with me, but I'm going. I tell you, folks, I believe we can do much more. You know, after I finish preaching like that, I go home and the devil tried to beat me up. See, you shouldn't have said that. Now, see, some of them ain't coming back. You know what I tell him? Good. No, I don't mean it like that. I don't mean it like that. No, I'm not saying it like that. I love you. But let me tell you something. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Now, I want you to look at this, what I'm about to show you, and see if I'm talking about you. I'm coming back to 121. I'm about done, but I got to go. I got to break out. I got to break out. I've been around this mountain too long. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Have you got it? And look at verse 12. Put it up there on the board, please. Yea, and all that will live how? Godly, in who? Christ shall suffer what? Persecution. Folks, it's like people don't want to be, you know, go through that. And I can understand that because you want everybody to like you. But let me tell you, he just told you everybody's not going to like you. Why are you busy trying to live off of that? Time for compromising, the church is over. Let's go get that stuff. Let's make it so when you bring somebody in here that's got 4-stage cancer, they walk out dead with cancer.
Just cancer free. Totally can't. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I want you to go with me. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Go with me on this thing. Let's prove that the word of God is true. Psalm 121, we're gone. You know I love you. Don't you know I love you? But folks, you can't walk out of this. You got to break out of it. Psalm 121. Here's what it says in verse 1. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh where? From the Lord, which has made what? Heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me will not what? Slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor do what? Sleep. See, if he's not, if he's awake, why don't you get some sleep? The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is my shade upon my right hand. The sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve us from how much evil? All evil. He shall preserve our soul. And the Lord shall preserve our going out and our coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Let me just, one more place. I'm gonna let you go. Job chapter 13, please. Well, I didn't mean to preach this hard. Y'all just gonna have to hang with me. You with me? Job chapter 13, verse 15. Put it on the board, please. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's all I wanted you to see. What was that? A prophetic word. You know, and I know Job went through some stuff. Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, you're talking like a foolish woman. He got into this place where he began to see things that he'd never seen before. And he made this statement, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Yes.
And I soon figured out what he was talking about. He was talking about Jesus on the cross. You see, because when he died for you and me and went to hell, he had to depend totally on the Father to get him out. And I want you to just be willing to step on out there and resolve that you're going to put yourself totally in the hands of the Father. And understand that he will bring you out. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have. Are we doing okay? Y'all know that sometime I come loose and I gotta tell it just like it is. He said, don't you know that in the future there are gonna be people that are not gonna wanna hear the truth? So watch yourself. I want to keep myself on the front line and understand that if I can just do my part, at least I can pass on a heritage of faith so people can see. Now I'd like to call for souls. And these are people that you don't know the Lord. Now, I didn't say that you hadn't been in church. I'm saying that you don't have a personal relationship with the Father. Jesus, you know about, but you don't have.